You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
It's Streeter.
Streeter Seidel from collegehumor.com, whitewine.com, and many, many other sites. How you doing tonight?
Not bad. How you doing?
Doing all right. We were just talking about you, you know, setting up your appearance on this terrible, terrible internet radio show that we do. And
I know it's awful, right?
It really is.
Everyone hates it.
It's so bad that you haven't listened to a second of it.
Hell no.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. What's that?
Are we on? How does this work? I don't even know.
Well, basically, you speak, and people hear us. That's how it goes. I heard your appearance on NPR. Very polished, very interesting and articulate. The interview was great. This will be nothing like that.
Dude, that was edited, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They do that, because, you know, they really want a good product, so.
Right, but that doesn't concern you?
Not really. Not quite. I figure when I'm doing a show just inches from where I masturbate and sleep, I, you know, really don't have to worry about the final cut.
You're just doing it for the cash, let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I really am. And the chicks.
All right.
So, Streeter, my co-host is a bald man who lives in a basement. His name is Germ Freak because he's afraid of human feces. He's 38, and he has no idea who you are because he's disconnected from everything youthful.
I know who he is, but I don't know his face.
How do you know this?
Sounds like things are going well for Germ Freak.
Well, here's the thing is, I watched this lip dub video about 25 times. I know you're one of the people in that video.
Yeah.
This was Harvey Danger, I think, Flagpole Sitter.
Right.
So I watched this video about 25 times. I know you're one of the people in there. Ken told me that you're one of the people in there, but he didn't tell me exactly who you were.
So he wants, why don't we try and guess?
I'm trying to deduce it.
Go through a bunch of the people that you can describe, Frank, or Germ Freak.
Right.
And then let's see if we can get it right.
All right. You had the one guy who was, you know, crawling around on the floor, very psychedelic, where he was ripping magazines or something like that. I don't think you're that.
You want me to tell you if you're right or wrong?
Yeah, why don't you tell him if you're right or wrong, and then and he'll go through what he remembers after having watched a video featuring people half his age over 30 times.
All right, I am not the guy crawling around on the floor.
Okay. Are you the guy?
That is not me.
Are you the guy who's getting up from sitting at like a conference table and you have this very pissed off look on your face? And you're like,
nope.
And you have like, that's not okay.
No, those are my bosses.
Oh, those are your bosses. Okay. Are you the guy? There's like two guys that are together, and this is the part where they talk about he's an amputee. God damn you! And there's like two guys together, singing almost. Is that you?
That is not me. No.
So right. I just want to cut in and say how embarrassing it is that he doesn't know who you are. Because you're our guest, and it proves that, one, he hasn't taken the time to view anything you've ever done, and you've done some amazing things, and two, he was really just a poor assessor of human actions.
All right.
This is fine. I like this game.
Okay.
This is good.
Why don't we carry it out, then, for a little bit?
Wow.
I'll tell you this, Frank.
There's one guy there who's got like this very dark Ben Franklin type of beard. It's like he's like playing ping pong or something. He's got like a Ben Franklin beard. Was that?
Oh,
you?
No, that is not me either. But I do have a beard. It's not a dark Ben Franklin beard, whatever
we're playing. We're playing college humor. Guess who? Basically,
my favorite part is when this guy comes walking down the hall with a beverage in his hand and a buttered bagel in the other hand.
You're an asshole.
Is that you?
That's me. You got
Yeah. Now, that's the best part of the fucking thing, dude.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
I didn't know. You know what? Honest to the truth. Ken told me who you were, and I think you did great in that thing. And I saw your.
Hey, Frank, how about you let me ask some of the questions before you turn this into a fucking Chris Farley interview? you remember that lip dub? That was awesome. So, Streeter, he only remembered you from that lip dub, but I did show him some of the things that I really enjoy. For example, let's get a little background on some of my favorite characters, the overgrown guy girlfriend and the Phantom of the Office. I don't know if you're breaking character yet and acknowledging that You are Phantom of the Office?
Look, you know, he's his own thing. I may help him with some of his lines and, you know, help him work out some bits and stuff like that, but he is certainly his own entity. I am not him.
Well, you know, okay, that's fine. That's fine. Just pass the word along that I really appreciate what he does, and why don't you tell, you know, CHTV to really include him in some more stuff, because I think he's starting to fit in.
I think the reason he isn't showing up much lately is that he gets very hot in that camel hair jacket, and New York is in the grips of a heat wave, which makes his daily commute just awful. And the last thing he wants to do is put on a camel hair jacket and say some dumb shit.
What made me laugh with that is when you were in doing a yoga session and you said, "Who beefed?" And I found that very fucking – because it just came out of nowhere.
Because that was an actual phrase when Frank was a youth. That's why. He was just connecting with the past. He didn't really see it for the humor that it actually is.
I think the Phantom chooses his words very carefully. And I think a lot of what he says is things that would have been – very hip and current to say 10, 15 years ago, but have since kind of fallen out of vogue.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
who beefed, certainly, in that category.
Who beefed? Yeah, Frank actually still uses that one. He loves it.
I mean, is it, you know, out of sorts if I just ask him a couple questions about that lipped up video? Is that not good to ask?
No, you know, that's okay. Ask it's you know, okay. It's only in 2006, and this is 2 years later, and I'm sure this is exactly what he wants to talk about. But go ahead.
Listen to me. Was that really done on one take for real?
Yes, one take.
But was it rehearsed, though? Like, was it rehearsed a little bit?
Jacob, who started Vimeo and the one who filmed it, kind of walked everyone through it one time, just but very informally, just kind of like, you'll stand here and then you come from here, and you know.
Yeah, there was a
very minimal rehearsal with that.
I'm sorry,
I mean, everyone was drunk. It was at a party. We were at a party, and no one felt like.
It was in the offices where you worked, though, right?
Right. Yeah, that's our office.
Yeah, there was a behind-the-scenes video, Frank. I don't know if you've seen that, but after the show, you can go ahead and get started on your journey towards watching that 25 times as well.
really quick,
it's a lot of fun. It's a good one. A lot of people, strangely, in France, all these offices in France watched it and started making their own, which we thought was very odd. But it really touched the French office worker somehow.
Everybody,
they don't work in August, so they're just making videos, lipped up videos.
Everybody was perfect in their lip dub. There was one female, however, it looked like she was being forced to do it. There was one girl who's like, she was the girl who was in you with you in the yoga bit. She's playing ping pong. And the camera goes on her, and she looks like she's out of sorts a little bit. You know, you don't see her singing too much. But other than that, I thought it was pretty cool. Now, is there a?
I think what happened with that was she was playing ping pong and was distracted when her line came up.
Oh, so you know what I'm talking about then?
Yeah, she was trying in the fucking thing, Frank. I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a party going on. You see, you know, bottles of beer in everybody's hand and all that, and Harvey Danger even, you know, responded about it.
Yeah, that guy. It was unfortunate. He was in New York for a couple of days, and he wanted to come by, and do one, you know, where he's actually singing it. But the timing didn't work out.
Oh, that would be awesome.
So we weren't able to do that.
So let me ask you a few of the, and again, I want you to, as I ask these questions, I want you to tell me approximately how many times you've been asked this. Not necessarily in an interview, but maybe by like an aunt that you don't see so often. The number one, let's go here. How did you get started working with College Humor?
I've been asked that approximately 50 times. It was,
It was born out of depression, really. I had gone to study abroad in London when I was a junior in college, and my girlfriend had dumped me, and when I came back, I was just kind of a mess, you know, and just staying up real late, not really doing anything. And my friend sent me a link to the site, and I'd never been there before. And so in my drunken haze, I kind of checked it out and thought, like, well, I can write this stuff. And I sent Ricky, who's the editor-in-chief, some samples, and then that was that. Kind of went from there.
Really? So you got in early enough where it was to the point they needed people, and you sent in some pretty good stuff, and they brought you on.
Yeah, it wasn't quite what it is today. You know, it was still very popular, but it hadn't really hit my school. Like, no one at my school really knew what it was, so I didn't know what it was. But, you know, like some of the bigger schools, like Virginia Tech and stuff, it was already fairly popular.
So, Frank, did you have some kind of a Pony Express version of College Humor when you were in college?
Well, we didn't have the internet when I was in college.
Well, that's why I'm asking if it involved ponies and scrolls.
Something like that, yes.
Okay, great.
But I want to... did you have one something? I want to ask something else, but I'll let you finish.
Well, no, you go ahead. Just go ahead and ask.
Are you sure? Just one last question. When you did the
First of all, don't say last question. We're
no,
trying to
last
you know,
question about
a
particular
a
topic.
Bit.
About a particular topic. The Phantom Fellow. In one of the
yes.
clips, you're opening a window. On like a high story building, you're opening a window, and all the wind blows the papers around. You familiar with that?
Yes, I am. Very okay. much.
Now, was that an actual window that you opened?
Yeah, it's a very strange feature of our office. If you open any of the windows, a massive gust of wind comes in and blows everything around,
no,
so we can
never
open
want,
them.
By the way, Frank.
High-rise? Is it a high-rise you're in?
We're on the 17th floor.
Yeah, okay, so Frank, let me also tell you something. There is actually a pit somewhere in the desert that has a creature which eats people and digests them for thousands of years. It's called the Sarlacc Pit, and it's completely real. It was amazing that George Lucas got it on film. You are so fucking... Do you realize that there's special effects?
All right, listen.
Are you aware of this? You know, there's a point where, you know, Streeter is, you know, depicted with... Well, obviously, you just cleared that up. You said that you're two different people. I suspected that you were one and the same. However, it's not the case. So,
what is
Many
your
have
real
been fooled.
I know. I've been duped.
What is your real
I mean, that, I'm not joking. That wind's real. It really does that.
Oh,
it's
it
not,
is?
We didn't... I don't know if you can tell. We don't exactly have a huge budget for the hardly working videos we do. But yeah, that really happens.
It there. Really does open like...
Every well, single time. Even if there's no wind, it'll do that.
Amazing.
Now,
it was fun when we discovered that.
Your first name is really Streeter, is that correct?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Frank. Okay. Frank, if he told you his, if he told
sorry,
you his fucking name was Pete, would you question it? What's
it's
the big fucking deal?
Name.
The guy tells you what his name is. Just
it's
assume
unusual.
It's his name.
Listen, don't try and sass me in front of this dude, all right?
Sass you. Sorry, I have to go off mic because I need to beef. Frank, take
now,
it away.
Everybody who works for College Humor, do they follow the same protocol as Menudo, where you can't be past a certain age or you have to resign? Because everybody there is in their 20s, is that correct, or early 30s?
All the people you see on the site are 20-something or in their late teens.
I see.
But no, the site's not old. No one's left. Because it's just not old enough for that yet.
I see.
I imagine there'll come a point where I can no longer write about beer bong. So.
Bro, solo cups. They're amazing. Let me go collect social security.
To a certain age. That's like 28. I think it starts getting a little sad if you're still writing about frat parties and you know and the like.
Yeah. Do you see yourself moving on in a few years then? How old the guy are
you? No, I don't know. It depends. Like, the company just, it keeps growing and kind of keeps changing. And so, you know, I mean, I'm obviously going to hang out as long as I can. So it's a really fun place to work. I can't imagine somewhere else that would be as creatively fulfilling and also fun.
Well, let me tell you something, Streeter. I do work at an insurance company, and I design the software. So wow. It is kind of a rock star lifestyle. I don't know if we're making lip dubs, but have you ever filed anything?
When I first started working there, it was just seven of us. And I was the biggest dude. I was like the largest. So I kept getting nominated to be office guy who picks stuff up from Staples. I remember walking down Broadway one day with like two of those huge boxes of printer paper.
Ugh.
And being like, what the hell am I doing this for? Like, I got hired to write a book. Like, why am I lugging paper around? And that's when we started our intern program.
There you go.
So now we have them to do all the grunt work.
Yeah. So who is the oldest? What's the oldest employee at College Humor? Or Connected Ventures?
We have some ad people in their late 30s, I think.
It must just be depressing to see all that vibrant youth around you.
We lock them away so we don't have to look at them.
God.
They're just grim reminders of what's coming.
That's why I don't do the show from the same room as Frank. I want to keep a positive outlook as long as I can. As long as I can. So I want you right now, you mentioned that there are a number of employees. I want you to single out one employee and tell me why they're a dick right now.
Why they're a dick?
Yes.
Let's see. Oh, God. How many to choose from?
By the way, you didn't give me the number of times that you've heard that question.
I've never heard that one
nice!
Before.
Go.
Let me think. Can I talk about an ex-employee?
You may talk about any.
All right. We had an ad guy for a while who I was very friendly with outside of work, but I couldn't deal with him at work. And he was just very very single-minded in his quest to make money at the cost of any editorial oversight. And he used to make up these rules in his head for what we could and couldn't say, but then never tell anyone. So I recall one very memorable day when we were in our old office, which was kind of like a loft, and there were separate rooms for each department. So I was sitting in the editorial room, and we had got for... There was a video we did called Girls Costume Warehouse, and we had this big mustard costume. And so I put it on, and I was, dicking around, wearing this gigantic mustard costume, and he came barging in and just started screaming at me about something. I don't know, maybe I said, shit on the front page or something like that. It was something that, as far as I was concerned, was fine to do. But, I'm sure he had some advertiser get pissed off. So he's like, you cost this money, you cost this company fucking, $200,000, what the fuck you think you are? And so I get very offended and start screaming back at him. I'm like, you don't give a shit about this site, all you care about is making a fucking commission, fuck off, let the people give a shit about it, run it, and it's not your job to tell us what we can and can't say. And so we get in this argument that's very close to erupting into a fist fight. Yet the whole time I'm in this mustard costume with a mustard cap hat on, and everyone's just kind of watching this fight go down, wondering, are we gonna throw down? Are we gonna start throwing punches? And I think people didn't know whether to laugh. People didn't, people thought it was a bit we were doing because of the mustard costume, of course. But he's since left. I had more trouble working with him than anyone else.
So
he'd be my nomination for a dick at work.
Okay, it's good to cop out with a former employee. That's okay. I remember seeing the mustard costume actually on the girl who wore it, and it was a bit of a midriff revealing thing on her, and you're no small guy. So I can only imagine, was he your superior at any point, or were you on equal footing?
No, I mean, we worked for different departments.
Okay, he's just really chewing you out over something that he thought was wrong, and you're wearing you're wearing a half shirt mustard bottle.
I think when I went to my boss to be
look, you got to reel this guy in. Like, you know, he can't come charging into our department screaming about God knows what. Like, you know, obviously I'm going to go tell my boss, like, he's acting like a shithead. I might have still been wearing, and I was very upset, you know, because I don't, you know, in the world of content-based entertainment properties, you know, the age-old battle is between the advertisers and the content creators. Like, this is, you know, this is a battle as old as advertising itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have very strong opinions on it, obviously. Like, I'm a creator. Like, I don't want my stuff to be compromised. So I was very heated and, like, very passionate about this while wearing a mustard costume, of course, naturally. As most great leaders are wont to do at some point.
Of course. Absolutely. And
it does seem like a cop-out to name someone who didn't work there, but I'm not joking at all when I say that everyone on the edit team are very good friends with each other and hang out, and I really don't have much of a bad word to say about any of them.
No, I know. You really do get the sense of that. I was just more or less being, you know, a dick. I was doing what I was trying to weed out of one of your coworkers, but you know, it does really seem like a pretty decent environment, and
it's great. Other than Sarah, who's a total bitch, but yeah, I mean, everyone else is just fantastic.
Now, what would be the worst? Because at one time, do you ever monitor what people submit to the site?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, half the job.
Yeah. So what would be What would be the worst, and I'll leave your interpretation of what worst means, and you could explain that thing that you've ever seen submitted to College Humor.
We got one time there was this site that had something to do. This site like organized a DDoS attack on College Humor because they thought we like stole something from them, which we hadn't. Someone just submitted it. And we didn't even put it up, but they, like, found it on, like, our, you know, local pages somewhere. And so they all steamed about it. And they just submitted, like, a ton of very disturbing pictures. I won't even go into it, because I don't want the law coming knocking. But it was, like, the kind of stuff that I had to delete immediately. so that was annoying.
Illegal material.
Yeah, definitely. This year was not legal, and so I think that was like their little plan to get us in trouble.
Now,
luckily, we can delete that stuff as soon as it comes in. But lately, what's been awful is I think these people are in India or Pakistan.
It must be horrible then.
And they find our site, and I think they think it's like kind of like a Facebook type thing, and so they just upload dozens of pictures of themselves, like, you know, just chilling on the couch or like, you know, standing next to their car, and they're always like, it's me, just me, just hanging. And they're just, you know, it'll be like, and I gotta go through all that shit, so I'm just sitting there for like half an hour clicking through pictures of these, like, you know, 15-year-old Indian kids with their prized possessions.
So they're treating College Humor like their own personal profiles.
I think they just don't like. I think they don't get what it is.
Yeah.
And how to use it. But that's been a recent thing that's been annoying me.
Well, in India, humor means hookup.
Whatever. in the ancient language.
Yes. Apparently, Frank. Now you've watched the overgrown guy girlfriend videos, correct?
I did, and the only part I loved it, but the only part I felt very uncomfortable with was when you wrapped your arms around the guy's neck. To me, that was a little. I felt a little uneasy. You know,
I'm sorry to do that to you. What can I say? I'm a method actor.
No, I'm not. I'm just, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, I think it's hilarious, but, you know, you really delve into your part, you know, because, you know, you wrapped your arm. It was very, you know.
Frank, were you uncomfortable watching it? I mean, or did you feel that he should feel uncomfortable?
Just that one part. Just the part where you wrapped your arms. The guy was sitting at his desk chair, and you were hovering over him. You wrapped your arms around his neck.
It's the contact and not the fact that he's wearing a wig and demanding that his boyfriend buys him Tampax and makes him Boca Burgers. It's none of that. It's just the fact that he may spoon the other guy.
Exactly.
And we do.
And why that, not?
I'm pushing boundaries. What can I say?
You know, you got to set limits.
That character is, I mean, first of all, it's retarded. It's like the dumbest. I can't believe people like it. Like, we did the first one kind of as a joke, and then people seem to enjoy it, and it's baffling to me. But it's just pretty much me doing an impression of my girlfriend.
I was going to ask.
Picking out choice things she says or does that I find humorous. Well, not at the time, but in looking back on them, I find them funny.
You're never going to be a good father!
She loves it. She thinks it's hysterical.
Do you think deep down she's censoring herself now, trying not to make the next one?
I don't think that... She doesn't care about what I do, you know? I mean, she does, but, like, she doesn't think about that people are out there watching me do an impression of her. I don't think she edits herself to make sure I don't make fun of her. Which is good, because then it just gives me more material to joke on.
Very good. Now, I found out about this recently. I don't know what the hell you can say, but what if anything, can you say about the MTV college humor TV thing?
I don't really know what I can say. I mean, I guess it's out there. MTV... We made a pilot for them, made two pilots for them, and they dug the second one, and hopefully it'll be on the air in October, I guess.
So in October, will we be seeing you on MTV?
Fingers crossed. You know, we don't really know. It's very, we heard on Friday, but, you know, it was Friday, so I don't think anyone wanted to hash out any details, and then... we're just kind of waiting on MTV to, you know, give their thoughts and opinions on it. But, I mean, everyone's very excited. Everyone's, very hopeful we can make a funny show. And hopefully, you know, it won't get canceled after an episode.
Hope not. I really enjoy the original videos you guys put out. And of course, the site is great, collegehumor.com. And this is Streeter Seidel. You're the senior editor of the front page.
Front page editor.
Yeah. Now, you have something going on, what is it, Thursday, the 24th?
Yeah, Thursday, Jeff, who's the managing editor, and I are going to host a stand-up show at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater at 9:30. We have a killer lineup. Christian Finnegan, Jacqueline Novak, and Pete Holmes, who are all extremely talented, funny comedians, and then Jake and Amir are going to come out and do something. We don't really know what yet. And it's, you know, we're going to put up the stand-ups on the site, so it should be interesting.
So it's College Humor Live in New York City at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater on July 24th at 9:30. Tickets are $5. The first 100 people will be comped by you directly. You'll be paying their admission.
By me. I'll be paying out of pocket with all that sweet, sweet MTV money.
Excellent. Streeter Seidel. It's streeterseidel.com also, by the way.
Thank you.
That's
S-E-I-D-E-L-L.
Thank you for coming on, buddy.
Hey, no problem. Anytime.
All righty. See you later.
All right. Later.
All right. Now, how does it feel to have just spoken to somebody that is younger and more successful than you?
Successful is in the eye of the beholder.
Does he live in the basement and yell for his
wife? I don't live in a basement. I own a house.
And where do you spend most of your time in that house?
In the basement.
Thank you. It's the DJ New Style Show. We'll be right back.